Public News Service Daily Newscast, September the 4th, 2025. I'm Mike Clifford. Harvard University won a crucial legal victory in its clash with the Trump administration Wednesday when a federal judge said the government had broken the law by freezing billions of dollars in research funds in the name of stamping out anti-Semitism. That for the New York Times. They report the ruling may not be the final word on the matter, but the decision by Judge Allison Burroughs of the U.S. District Court in Boston was an interim rebuff on the Trump administration's campaign to remake elite higher education by force. The Times notes Harvard's case centered on its research funding, and the university contended the administration had compromised its First Amendment and due process rights. Meantime, two lawsuits have been filed against the newly drawn redistricting maps in Texas.
Opponents of the gerrymandered map that creates more Republican districts say it's racially discriminatory and that redrawing maps mid-decade is unconstitutional. Stephanie Gomez with Move Texas says under the current system, Texas maps will always favor the majority party.
Ultimately, the issue that we need to be talking about as a state and a country, what does it look like to have an independent, actually community-led redistricting process? And we know that this type of stuff exists in other states, but in Texas, they have made it so we can't have that.
The map was redrawn at the urging of President Donald Trump to increase the number of Republican seats in Congress. Lawsuits have been filed by LULAC, the NAACP, the Mexican American Legal Defense and Educational Fund, and the Mexican American Legislative Caucus. A hearing on the map is scheduled for October. I'm Frieda Ross reporting.
The new map moves more Democratic voters in Dallas and Houston into districts that the minority party already controls and puts Democratic voters in largely Republican districts. And across the country, farmers are debating what role regenerative agriculture should play in the nation's food system and if they can pin hopes on Make America Healthy Again policies.
At White Oak Pastures in Bluffton, farmer Will Harris has spent decades moving away from industrial methods. He raises livestock on pasture, invests in healthy soil, and built his own processing facilities. Harris says his kind of regenerative farming supports rural economies and gives families better access to fresh, healthy food. He adds that recognition from leaders in Washington has given him a new sense of hope for the future.
Increasingly, I thought of myself as a niche producer and less frequently I thought of myself as an innovator. And it wasn't until this MAHA discussion that I started feeling like maybe the likelihood is greater than I will be an early innovator.
Shantia Hudson reporting. This story was produced with original reporting from Lisa Held with Civil Eats.
This is Public News Service. September is National Infant Mortality Awareness Month, shining a light on a difficult and persistent issue.
The infant mortality rate in North Carolina was 6.9 deaths per 1,000 births in 2023, which was the 10th highest rate in the nation. There are also large disparities along racial lines, with black infants dying at three times the rate of white infants. Caitlin Richards with the organization NC Child says the top two causes of infant mortality in North Carolina are low birth weight and birth defects.
That can be tied directly back to access to early prenatal care within the first trimester of a pregnancy, which black mothers typically have less access to that prenatal care in their first trimester compared to white mothers and those of other race and ethnicities.
State policymakers are looking into ways to reduce the infant mortality rate. Each year, the North Carolina Child Fatality Task Force sends a report to the Governor and General Assembly, which includes recommendations for reducing child deaths. I'm Eric Tegedoff reporting.
And New York advocates are sounding the alarm over looming threats to disability access on multiple fronts.
With more than 4 million New Yorkers living with a documented disability, federal policy changes include cuts to Medicaid and staff reductions and reorganizations at enforcement agencies. Shifting costs onto states is likely to reduce accessibility accommodations in education and elsewhere. Sharon McLennan Weir with the Center for Independence of the Disabled New York says these impacts will be widely felt.
It doesn't matter if you're Republican, Democrat, or independent, you're black, white, you're rich or poor. Anyone can have a disability from an injury to an accident to a disease. It can happen to anyone anytime. And it would be so much better if we have an environment that is accessible for everyone.
While the Americans with Disabilities Act celebrated its 35th anniversary this summer, the Older Rehabilitation Act of 1973 faces a potential threat in federal court. 17 states are challenging regulations that reinforce community-based care, raising concerns that states could shift resources back towards institutional settings. Brett Pivato reporting.
Finally, budget cuts and regulatory rollbacks are roiling Arizona conservation groups to demand that their representatives in Washington, D.C. stop rubber stamping cuts to environmental regulations and agency funding.
Groups such as Chispa Arizona say rising energy costs are hurting working people and providing corporate interests with unwarranted record profits. Vianney Oliverio at Chispa, part of the League of Conservation Voters, fears that decades of work toward renewable energy goals will be erased.
The utilities just rolled back their promises to transition to clean energy by 2030. They just said, we're not going to do that anymore. And it's really alarming because renewable energy, clean renewable energy, is the only way that we can move forward in Arizona.
Mark Richardson reporting.
This is Mike Clifford for Public News Service, member and listener supported. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.